The first thing to appreciate is that for many years, there was the courts and the case law tried to make a sharp distinction between the immigration consequences of convictions, that they were collateral and therefore not sufficiently important to be dealt with in the criminal proceedings. And there was relief available to persons and defendants in removal proceedings. And at least here in Texas, the issue was whether the advice that had been given, the immigration advice that had been given to defendant, was affirmative misadvice or simply didn't give the information. And there was definitely a sea change in 2010 when the Supreme Court decided Padilla versus Kentucky, because the opinion and the court acknowledged how integral a defendant who is a non-citizen, how integral their interests are to pleading guilty to a certain charge, and the decisions that go into deciding whether to plead or go to trial. And the court held that, at least for Sixth Amendment purposes, the non-citizen had a constitutional right to be advised that their plea subjected them to either automatic deportation or that there was a risk, and it was incumbent upon a defense counsel to do more than simply, you know, go and talk to someone else. It's an affirmative obligation for those of us who do criminal defense work to explain to defendants who are non-citizens the risks that their plea of guilty carries. And if that plea is to a charge that makes them automatically deportable or clearly deportable, we've got to tell them that. Next. So if you're starting out or haven't been practicing very long or haven't had much exposure to clients with criminal convictions, you have to understand and let go of certain myths. You know, simply because your client didn't plead to the felony, there's no consequences, immigration consequences, or because it was a misdemeanor without any jail time, there are no consequences. Or, you know, your client only did probation or jail time was for less than 6 months, your client is not subject to any immigration consequences. More importantly is, you know, the fact that 10 years ago, the Fifth Circuit or the BIA held that a certain conviction, a certain offense was not a deportable offense, then that your client is free and clear. Case in point is the decision that Erica highlighted toward the end of her presentation, Gracia Cantu. Since 2006, Hernandez Villegas, I forget which one, what the order of the surnames are, held that Texas misdemeanor assault was not a crime of violence. And it wasn't a crime of violence at the time because the reference is to 18 U.S.C. Section 16, which defines crime of violence. Well, let's start with the second subsection, which has been declared unconstitutional. It needed to be a felony. 22.01 is a misdemeanor, so it couldn't be a 16B crime of violence. Looking at 16A, it needed to have as an element the intentional use of force. 22.01, the assault offense, can be committed recklessly, and it's not that you can recklessly use force, but you recklessly cause bodily injury. That's what 22.01 says. And the court says, well, recklessly causing bodily injury is not the intentional use of force. Well, that all changed with Gracia Cantu. And so, you know, if you are, you know, assuming that your client's conviction today from 10, 12 years ago is not a deportable offense because the Fifth Circuit or the BIA said so, you'll have to reconsider that and do the work and the research to determine what are the consequences of your client's criminal conviction. Next.